This is the new talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts, podcast 408. I'm still doing this deck thing. I'm still really enjoying just being outside and doing podcasts from outside, and I'm dropping down to complete portability tonight. First thing I got to do here is fill up the tiki torches. I got to get that ready for tonight. So while I'm filling up the tiki torches, I will tell you. Let me go over here and get this bottle. These plastic bottles are the bane of my existence, because then you got to throw them away. Tell you a little bit about this podcast. You know, this was the first day that I decided, you know, in keeping with the back-to-school motif that I've been talking about in the podcasts, I thought, well, today I'm going to actually, you know, delve back into the news, you know, flow. And with me, you know, that's a big thing. That's printing a lot of pieces of paper and reading through the articles. And I haven't done that all summer, you know, maybe even longer because of traveling and going to actual events all summer long and doing that sort of thing. I haven't done anything like that all summer. So it was actually an interesting experience. I'm going to talk about my reaction to delving back into the news flow in this podcast. Just as I am sort of re-engaging and going through this back-to-school process, I have the distinct impression that I'm not the only one. I think there's a lot of people that are, you know, slowly kind of easing back into the rhythm. And I'm going to talk about that, too, because there's so many cues that are subconscious as we come to the end of summer. And I want to talk about some of those as well as I do kind of a walk and talk podcast. I want to welcome a new sponsor to the Bob Davis Podcast, which I'm going to tell you more about later on in the podcast. And that would be Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate in the North and Northwest Metro. Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Champlin, Albertville, St. Mike, Elk River, and the North Metro Corridor. I've been looking for a real estate sponsor for a long time, and I'm really happy to welcome these guys to the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, I was just talking about essentially the end of summer, and you know, this is State Fair Week, so people are usually picking one day to go to the fair, or some people are crazy enough to go to the fair, you know, a couple of different times. And, you know, whole families go, and everybody around here loves the Minnesota State Fair. But here's the thing. You talk about subconscious cues to the end of the season, and this is one of them, and that is, of course, the State Fair. These kinds of things, whether they're the local town festivals or the State Fair, they let us know that summer is ending, and it is ending fast. It doesn't seem like it. Today it was really warm and humid, and it feels still like summer out here, and that's one of the reasons I'm out here, and I love it. But the fact is that very quickly we're going to move through fall and then into winter, and as they say on the TV show, winter is coming. This is the best time to have Ryan Plumbing and Heating come out and check your heating system. And people say, well, why would I want to have someone like Ryan Plumbing and Heating you know, come out and check my heating system? Because if you haven't had it upgraded in the last 5 years, Ryan can upgrade you and save you a lot of money during the mini ice age that we're going to be experiencing here in the upper Midwest. You could save enough money to do other things. It's pretty amazing, and it's all about smart tech, and you'd be amazed what it can do. To find out, call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, you call 612-927-6488. They go metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs, too, for four generations. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating on University Avenue in St. Paul. The number is 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, call 612-927-6488. And I'm just going to add that Ryan is great for emergency service. You know, we're getting into that cold weather, and I remember once I had pipes burst in a house that I lived in, and boy, it comes as a big surprise. You're like, what do I do? And fortunately, I figured out that I had to turn the water off right away, and I didn't even know. We had just bought the house. I didn't even know where the water cutoff was. We had to find it. But your immediate, you don't even think about a plumber. This is why you want to have those numbers in your head like a sticker. And remember, Ryan, for emergency service as we head into the winter months, really any time of the year, okay? So thanks, Greg, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Truth be told, I've started to, this is another one of those moments where I am agitated about something, and I'm not sure what it is. And I've started and stopped this podcast several times. And maybe it's the planes landing. I don't know. But, you know, we live in a place where the weather cues, you know, lead us to do things without even thinking about it because these are subconscious cues. It's getting colder, or it's getting, the leaves are starting to change. Now today it's beautiful. So we're back to summer, which is great. The state fair, which I mentioned, is definitely a subconscious cue that the seasons are changing. And so we start to do things naturally. And what I did today was, I thought, well, I got up today and I thought, I made some calls and did some business stuff. And then I thought, you know, I'm going to go back to reading the news. Because all summer long, I have engaged in this news cleanse thing where, you know, I've either gone to events and covered them, which you've heard, the Sturgis, the Scott Walker events in Davenport and at Waukesha. And I think I went someplace else. Oh, the air show. And, you know, there's a couple more things that I'm going to do. I'm going to Agora Fest, which I'll tell you more about getting going forward. But I'm having a good time going out and actually going to these events and talking about what it is and talking to people at those events. I think that's, you know, we had a ton of fun at Sturgis and a ton of fun at the air show and a ton of fun at these political events. And by going out and doing, you know, going to an event that's actually happening, especially political events, I'm also learning about how politics is covered in this country. So today, I thought, well, it's time for me to, you know, to reengage. And, you know, as I said, I've been scanning all summer long, and I've been saving stories all summer long. And I go through once a week, and I delete stuff that I don't want to save, and then, you know, I thought I gotta print this stuff, but I gotta start reading this stuff again. I gotta do it. So, because usually what I'm doing during the year is I'm reading 300-400 pages of information, and this was the reason for the news cleanse to begin with. Was I got burned out from this stuff, and so I decided I'm not gonna do this anymore. And so throughout the early spring and the whole summer until today, I really just didn't print anything up. I just read it and read stuff on the computer and left it at that. So today I thought, well, I'm gonna go ahead and print this stuff up. And I printed up my stack of 150 pages or whatever it was of news stories because I thought, well, I'll find something in there to talk about. And you know what this is like? This is like an alcoholic going back to drinking. This is, you know, you feel really bad. You think you're going to feel good, and you end up feeling bad, and then you're hungover. And this is like the drug addict going back to the drugs. This is like the guy going back to the bad woman who's not good for him that he's in love with. And it doesn't matter. You know, that's what this is like. And why do I say that? So I go through this stack of information thinking I'm going to find this jewel and I'm going to have something to come on and do a podcast about that's going to be really great. And there's going to be new information I'm going to read, and I'm going to find out new stuff. And I always go through a rejection process, or, you know, weeding out. So if there's 200 or 300 pages of news stories, I'll go through and eliminate most of them and pick the one key story that I think is the most important. Well, here's what happened today. I get down to the bottom of my stack after I went through and weeded out the stories that are a waste of time. And I had three stories about the economy, which I don't need to do another podcast about, and one story about those psychology studies that can't be replicated. And that was what was left. And almost all the rest of it was noise. So when you get through filtering out and saying, yep, I know about that, yep, they've been talking about that for a week, yep, this is a waste of time, oh, it's another article about this, it's another this, that, and the other thing, you're left with two or three stories, that, you know, and then you say, my training is, well, you need to talk about what you're passionate about. So guess what? You know what is frustrating to me, and I maybe I'm the only one that sees it, that it's extremely frustrating, and this is what I wanted to talk about. I was shocked that after a summer of talking about, after a summer of staying away from news, I find, and it isn't that I can't find something to talk about. Keep in mind, I could come on this podcast and I could say, just like everybody else, I could say, here are the top five stories today, and let me tell you something. I don't like this, and this Donald Trump, and this person, and this Bernie Sanders, and the things that he's saying, and so forth and so on. And that is virtually worthless because everybody's doing that. That's what everyone's doing. So what I'm doing is I'm saying, well, let's see if there's something that's not the bouncing ball to talk about. You know what my favorite story of the last few weeks is? The favorite story that I have of the last few weeks is the story of the German girl who can't afford an apartment, so she bought a Eurorail pass, which allows her to travel on trains, unlimited travel on trains in Europe, and she lives on the train. And she's talking about being untethered. She's in college, and she rides the train. She sleeps on the train. She takes showers on the train. She does her work on the train. And they said, well, she's buying her ticket. That's, she can do whatever she wants on the train. That's my favorite story. And why? Because it talks about this young, free spirit, this person who's trying something that's unique and different, and using the tools of technology and the tools that are afforded her to try to figure out and do something that's, you know, a little different, and travel broadens the mind. I love that story. I think it's a great, the best story of the whole last few weeks. And, you know, I didn't obviously print that up today because I've had that in my mind for a long time. But what passes for news coverage in this country is generally just people following the bouncing ball. And the bouncing ball is the ball that bounces down the mountain and it goes down the fall line. And the stuff on either side doesn't get talked about because the ball doesn't bounce there. And they all rehash what each other does. They all report on the same stories. It's the same political stories. It's the same economic stories. It's the same quote-unquote human interest stories. And it doesn't feel that anything has happened in 5 months. It's the same stuff over and over again. You know, we had, I mentioned the shooting. Okay, another shooting. And it's the same rehashing every time somebody's shot. It's the people that say it's not guns. It's the SSRI or uptake inhibitors. And then the people that say we've got to get the guns away from all these people. And it's the same firing back and forth on both sides about it. Then each side taking advantage of this horrible tragedy to make a point about this, that, or the other thing. And up to and including, well, it's all these iPhones and the people that feel the need to put things on iPhones, and that's what's going on. And this is what's ruining our society and everything else. What's ruining our society is this media. What's ruining our society is terrible coverage of news. That's what is ruining our society, because it's not news. And you know, I'm really upset about it. I'm frustrated because I didn't want to talk about this stuff. I'm frustrated because I hate doing podcasts like this where, you know, I feel like I'm rehashing what's in the news. And I feel honestly like I got snookered again. That I feel like I got snookered by, you know, because of being in love with the woman who's bad for me, which is the news. I feel like I went back to the bottle. I feel like I, an alcoholic who fell off the wagon and with predictable results. Like, here we go again. You know, we've had a great summer of talking about fun stuff and different stuff and what's going on in the subconscious and unconscious mind, and how great the sound of summer is, and the, you know, all the things we talked about. The Sturgis thing was fabulous. The air show, and even covering political events was fabulous. Then I come back and I start thinking, oh, I'm gonna read news, and it's like doing this podcast. I'm saying, well, what can I say? Like, how long should I talk about this? What insights can I offer to advance the story for this? And I don't want to tell people, don't read the news. I don't want to tell people, be stupid, don't know anything. I be ignorant. I shouldn't say stupid, but ignorant. Don't be aware of what is going on. But At the same time, I don't see how any of this coverage of these things, these, you know, whatever's going on, the way that they cover stuff, is helping anyone. And in particular, politics and economics and foreign policy. It's the same stuff over and over again with a new wrinkle every day. Is this something that I just discovered, or it's been going on all this time, or is this something that is relatively new? And this is a theme that I have been returning to in these podcasts a lot lately, and that is that I don't think it's something that's been in that's been there for years and I've not noticed it, because I would know that. I think we are literally at the end of an era. We have come to the end of a road, or we've come to a fork in the road, let's say, and we're going to go down one side, or we're going to go down the other, or something is going to happen that's going to spin action around in the other direction, or this is itself the event that's going to lead us to perdition. That this is the de-evolution of giving people the kind of information they need to have as voters to make a decision. You're not getting the information you need to get as a voter to make a decision. And I'm going to tell you why you're not and how you're not in a second here. So, as I told you earlier in the podcast, I'm really excited to have a real estate sponsor for the Bob Davis podcasts. One of the cool things about being in digital media is that we have tools that broadcasters don't generally have to be able to tell, you know, to quite specific levels what people are interested in who are listening to and participating in your digital media, podcast, blogs, and things. And I've known for some time that people who listen to the Bob Davis podcast also are interested in real estate. And so I've been looking for the right real estate partner to sponsor the Bob Davis podcast. And I have found them, and that is Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate and PrideOfHomes.com in the North and Northwest Metro, the North Metro Corridor. I'll tell you more about that in a second. But let me explain the direction and the idea behind PrideOfHomes.com. History demonstrates one of the paths to personal wealth is through property ownership. A lot of people continue to rent while waiting to purchase their first home or move up to their next home. Now, in the last 5 years or so, there's been many, many foreclosures and houses sitting empty for extended periods of time, and houses renovated by fly-by-night house flippers. And if you're out looking for houses, there's a high level of risk associated with those kinds of houses. To negotiate it, you need real estate professionals that understand the market. Interest rates have been at actually historic low levels for many, many years, and there's pressure to increase interest rates. In fact, there is talk that the Fed may yet increase interest rates before the end of September. This is the time to take advantage of low interest rates if you're in the market for real estate or someone close to you is considering buying their first home, your son or daughter or niece or nephew. A lot of times people will say, who do I talk to? I want to introduce PrideOfHomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis podcast. PrideOfHomes.com is a husband and wife licensed real estate agent team and a real estate investor with expertise to share with you, as I said at the beginning of this. Take a moment and talk with Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate and PrideOfHomes.com in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Champlin, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, and the North Metro Corridor. A lot of people moving up there. A lot of young people moving up there and looking for homes up there, and you need help. For real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate is your best bet. Visit their website today at PrideOfHomes.com or click on the banners at the BobDavisPodcast.com. They'll take you up there. 763-433-9100. 763-433-9100 if you want to talk to Eric and Aram. Once again, the husband and wife team with Luke Team Real Estate and PrideOfHomes.com. And thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. You're not getting the kind of information that you need to get about politics and economics in this country, because what they're doing is they're covering what these people say. So it isn't about an issue. They don't go out and cover an issue and say, you know, in terms of economics, what's wrong with the country economically is it's not growing fast enough. What they do is they go out, somebody will go and they'll make a speech. A government official will say something, or the president will say something, or a candidate will say something like, we need to reduce taxes on middle-class Americans. And that's that. They go out, they report that story, and nobody goes in and reports the context for that story. They just say, Jack, you know, so-and-so, the Treasury Secretary says that we need to reduce taxes for low-income people or middle-income people. Some candidate will say, we need some kind of different taxation system, and this is my six-point plan for producing that. And they report that story, and it just lays there and sits there. I'll give you another example. You know, this was a weekend in which in Chicago, 45 people were shot. Something like 45 people were shot. I don't know how many people were killed or wounded or hurt or anything else. And the Tribune dutifully ran a story that details chronologically all of the shootings. And the impact of the story is, my God, they're killing all these people in Chicago. And it's, you know, 10:43, this happened. 11:41, this happened. 12:42 a.m., this happened. And so they go through everything that happened. And then they talk about the families and the grieving families in the neighborhoods and how bad things are and are the police doing what they're supposed to do. But there's no context to describe why the victim was shot. They don't report on, was this gang violence? Did the victim know the person who assaulted them? You know, why was this guy in this car at this particular, like, for example, one of the guys that was shot was sleeping in his car. Why was he sleeping in his car? You know, who shot him? Did he know the person that shot him? And we will not know those facts until much later, if ever. So you're left with fractals of information that are useless to you because you don't know the full story. And they do this with everything. They do it with politics. They do it with foreign policy. They do it with, there was an altercation between an Israeli soldier and an 11-year-old boy. They claimed he was throwing rocks at them, and they went up there to arrest the kid, and it turned into a huge thing. This is supposed to be international reporting on the Palestinian-Israeli standoff, you know, but it doesn't tell you the context of what actually happened. It just is this lurid story with video of this kid. And you're left with this sort of roiling, confused, you know, lack of understanding of the story. The shooting in Roanoke is a perfect example of, here's this lurid video of this woman getting shot. If you watch it, I'm sorry, because it's not something that you want to watch, but okay, and people watched it. The person that did the shooting supposedly had his reasons and everything else, and again, the context is only coming after the fact, but it doesn't come with the impact of the story, and so people are left with pieces, and then they react. The father is reacting because he's upset about his daughter, but he's got to go out in front of the television cameras and say that he's going to dedicate his life to this, that, or the other thing about the guns. And this guy over here says, well, how come we never find out if they've been taking antidepressants? And, you know, it's all in pieces, and it comes out in pieces, and you're not able to get the full story until much later. But that doesn't stop commentators from commentating and bloviating on every single one of those stories. Now, I haven't talked about any of those stories, and I don't intend to, because to me, these things happen every 3 or 4 months. The shooting, the Palestinian thing, the situation in Chicago, it's a piece of the puzzle that you don't have time to connect, and it's very, very frustrating to go through this 300-400 pages of this a day and go, where does all this connect? And so apparently it's left to me to, if I might be so grand, apparently it is left to me to start to try to connect the dots and say, this is what's important to you. Not one of these political candidates is giving you the skinny on what's really going on, because not one of them knows. Bernie Sanders has no idea what's going on. He's going out and exciting crowds, saying stuff because he knows that they don't like Wall Street, or they don't, or Donald Trump knows they don't like Mexicans, or they don't like hedge fund managers. All of them are out there playing notes. They are players in a band playing notes on instruments, and you can hear the note. And if you like the sound of the note, then you like the candidate. That's not problem solving. That's not saying to the people, here's your problem and this is what needs to get done with it. And that's why I say, we're not going toward, you know, the light here. We're going toward a dark moment because we're not informing people enough to make an informed decision about what they need to do. And these politicians aren't doing it either. They're going out grandstanding, quote unquote, playing a note. They're putting on a show for you, and the media is complicit in it. The media wants them to put on a show because that gets people to watch. And we're going to end up having to look at alternative media. And I don't want to go on too long about this because when I do, it starts to fall apart. But we're going to have to start looking to alternative media to begin the process of figuring out what's actually going on. And it can't just be a conspiracy theory. You know, there's got to be some academic approach to saying what is the problem with inequality? Is it a problem and why? And let people hear the different facts and come up with what they think the answer to that situation is. Instead, it's somebody makes a speech, the media reports what was said in the speech, there's a couple of paragraphs about supporters and response, and that's it. And so you get a fractal. You get a piece of information that's useless to you because you don't get the whole piece of information. And, you know, I'm going to keep talking about this as long as I have to keep talking about this because I really believe this is what we're in a situation right now where it's just almost like the Matrix, where it's the same thing over and over again. It's really 2019 or 2037, but we don't know it because we're still living in 1999 or whatever, 2003 or whatever, you know, time it was when the copper top thing started in the Matrix. You know, we're not getting anywhere. I just have this sense of not getting anywhere, and so this is where the frustration is coming from. This is why people are pointing to people like Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump, because they feel like they're going to move things forward because they're shouting. And they're either shouting down reporters or they're shouting about, you know, some evil that they see. And it's rhetorical and they refer to it as populism. But really, it's playing a note that's popular. That's what it is. It's go out and play an A. It sounds good. You know, let's just keep playing an A. It's working. It doesn't matter what they say. It's how they say it. And it's whether or not they strike a chord that's actually, you know, pleasurable and makes people happy, and then they just keep going out and they keep striking that chord again and again and again. And this is different from previous political seasons where candidates, you know, had a philosophy and an idea and a concept and supported and pushed that idea and concept consistently, and they had a plan for what they wanted to do consistently. We're in a bad period in America. We're in a bad period of economics. We're in a bad period for society, and it doesn't appear to be on the horizon. There doesn't appear to be anything that is going to move it forward that in a positive way that says, okay, we're going to start to grapple with these problems, we're going to solve them, and we're going to put people in there who can solve those problems. It's all rhetorical. It's all arguing. It's all, and the media contributes to it. In fact, I blame the media, especially talk radio and especially the cable news channels, for continuing this format where we have to have roundtables and people have to speak, and we also have to have people who know nothing scream and yell and pound and have their day. My favorite example of that was the Black Lives Matter people that, you know, Hillary Clinton would not let them into one of her events because she is not going to have what happened to Bernie Sanders happen to her. You know, Clinton is not going to let a bunch of protesters push her off any stage. So they wouldn't let them into the event. But she said, I'll come out and meet with you before the event, which, you know, politically speaking, pretty smart. And my favorite part about it was I watched this little clip where they showed her speaking to them, and she went out there and said, look, you know, this is a Democrat, so you have to keep this in mind, and this is how Democrats think. And I'm not criticizing her for saying this. I want people to understand what she told them is true. She said, you know, you've got to couple what you're doing with policy suggestions and political action. So oddly enough, it's the same thing that I've criticized Tea Party people for. It's all rhetoric, and there's no connection to action to it. And she was saying, can we give them better schools? Can we improve their lunches? Can we, you know, give them money for education? Can we improve the medical care? How do we ameliorate the problems in the ghetto that are causing these problems? Who, you know, do we need programs to work with the police? I mean, she went through a whole long list of Democrat ideas for addressing the problems that have produced Black Lives Matter as a protest group. And, okay, so they listened to her, and that was the end of that, and she went back in and did her thing, and they left, or whatever they did. So after the clip's over, they're on some cable show, and they cut back to the Black Lives Matter guy, and they go, so you were there and you talked to her, what's your response? Well, we're not happy. And then they go, well, why are you unhappy? And he's like, because we don't sense that there's a change in her heart on this issue. We don't sense that there's a change in her feeling on this issue. And it's like, really? Number one, she came out and met with you. Number two, she gave you direct suggestions on what needs to get done to deal with it. Number three, she explained to you that no matter what happens, it has to go through the process of the United States government, and there's opposition to these ideas, and they usually take acts of Congress, and it doesn't happen overnight, and there has to be political action associated with it. Oh, no, we're upset because we sense that she doesn't feel the way we want her to feel. That's what's wrong with this country. Nobody wants to do any work. Nobody wants to say it's going to take us, you know, a long, hard slog. You know, the protests aren't going to solve the problem. The demonstrations aren't going to solve the problem. Posting something on your Facebook page isn't going to do anything. We've got to learn to work in a political atmosphere. We've got to create political power in order to use that political power to get politicians to do what we want them to do. And political power is votes and money. That's it. It's all about votes and money. That's political pressure. If you can give them money and take it away, or give them votes and take it away, then you've got political power. Nobody wants to hear that, because it's not a simple problem that starts at the top of the hour. We introduce the problem, and at the bottom of the hour, we break for 15 commercials. And so at 24, we break for 15 commercials, and we've solved the problem in 10 minutes. It doesn't work that way. Life does not work that way. And if you disagree, think about your own life and think about the problems that you've had in your own life and how long it took you to solve those problems. You ever have a tax problem? It didn't get solved one day. It got solved over a period of time. You have a real estate problem, you have a car problem, you have a job problem. These problems don't get solved, and that's just one individual situation and one individual problem. They don't get solved overnight, but we want everything to get solved at the bottom of the hour. And we are going to have to change, and we're going to have to force, by changing ourselves, we are going to have to force a change in the way that these people give us the information that we need to have to be able to make informed decisions as voters. And people in this country ought to be incensed at the crap that is being thrown in their face day in and day out by these commentators and by these talk stations and these demagogues and everybody else that 25 years ago were great. But you know what? A generation has gone by and nothing has changed, and it's the same thing over and over and over again, and it has to change. And I guess I'll leave it at that. I'm frustrated, and this is something that happened to me today, and a reaction that I had today on this stuff that I feel better. I feel it's been a little cathartic in this particular podcast. It took me a while, but it feels a little cathartic in terms of at least expressing my frustrations with trying to find something to talk about, or at least saying, gee, wouldn't it be nice if something could be, that we would have a sense that something had moved along, that, okay, we've got that taken care of, let's move to the next thing. How many more things are going to pile up before we start solving problems? And if we don't work together, if we can't work together anymore, we're not going to be able to solve problems. And that's literally a breakdown in society. You know, and in closing, I would just, I'm of a certain age and talk to a lot of friends whose parents are dying. And the parents, are all from the World War II generation. And we were talking about one of my best friends' father-in-law passed away recently, and he was 93. And, we were talking about the things that he had seen in his life and the experiences that he had in his life. And I'm still amazed at that generation, because they had to learn to work together. And I think much has been made of the quote-unquote greatest generation and how they all work together. And they didn't want to, I don't think that they wanted to work together. I don't think they were any less of an individual than we are today. But they had to. They were forced to because of the situation. And, you know, I was talking to somebody else recently, you know, at one point, and I said, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? And he said, well, that's a low helicopter. He said, well, yeah, World War II. That's the worst thing that can happen. You know, the Great Depression. Ignorance, and I'm not saying stupidity, I'm saying ignorance and miscalculations and poor leadership created a calamity that killed millions of people in that generation. And so the people that are dying now from that generation are the survivors, you know, and those are the ones that learned to work together in order to defeat a great evil that they had to. And I don't see that same gravitas in the current generation. I certainly don't see it in the baby boom generation. Honestly, I feel that you know, the people that went off and volunteered for the war in Afghanistan and Iraq have a lot more gravitas than most baby boomers. I don't feel that that same the term is gravitas exists in the current generation, and we're going to have to reach down and find it, because if we don't, we're going to have real problems. So I'll end it there. Well, there's definitely some crazy stuff going on tonight. We've had a helicopter fly over at treetop level, which never happens, and I'm hearing sirens all over the place. You heard the sounds of some weird engine earlier, so there's some action in the neighborhood tonight. But anyway, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. It's a weird one, but, you know, I got to do the weird ones in order to get to the good ones. So, you know, I'm living my life, you know, through the podcasts and sharing my observations, and sometimes they're weird. And I hope that if you share them or you're interested in what I'm talking about, send me an email and let me know what you think. Again, congratulations to Eric and Aram Lucera with Luke Team Real Estate and PrideOfHomes.com. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcast, and thanks for sponsoring. Once again, you know, if you're looking for real estate in the North Metro Corridor, so we're talking about Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Champlin, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, up in that area, you just need to know that in the last 5 years or so, there's been a lot of flips and there's been a lot of foreclosures, and to negotiate that risk, you need people who know the market and understand what's going on. And I mentioned some of that earlier when I talked about it. PrideOfHomes.com is a husband and wife licensed real estate team and a real estate investor with expertise to share with you. Take a moment and talk with Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate and PrideOfHomes.com. Click on the banner at thebobdavispodcast.com to find out more information, or call 763-433-9100. And thanks once again to Greg Ryan at Ryan Plumbing and Heating. I'll tell you again, you might not think about it right now. I mean, I haven't had the AC on all summer, and certainly not the heat, especially because it's a beautiful night tonight, and it's been beautiful the last week or so. But Ryan can come out and check your heating, and they can do and use smart tech to really save you money, because they can increase the efficiency of your furnace. And if you haven't had it upgraded for 4 or 5 years, they can improve the efficiency, and that's what saves you the money. Really, if you haven't had it upgraded in 2 or 3 years, you'd be surprised at what's available. So just remember to have Ryan come and check your heating. And in St. Paul, you can call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs too, all over the place, whether it's the North Metro Corridor or West Metro or East Metro. And remember Ryan for emergency service. I definitely want to thank Alpha Systems. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It's FAA approved. The bottom line is Alpha Systems saves lives. Click click on the Alpha Systems banner for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the digital side of the Bob Davis Podcast. Got to thank you guys for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn, or blogtalkradio.com. Sometimes these services do not load the podcast right away, and it has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with you. Sometimes they just don't post right away. And in that case, you can also listen to the podcast right off the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com, and you can listen to, you can also download the podcasts right off the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. I want to thank you for, of course, liking, sharing, favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I'm BDavis7843 on Instagram. That's easy to remember. And thanks for your donations at the BobDavisPodcast.com. Goes into the fund for the Mobile Podcast Command Unit. I love that vehicle, and I will be taking it out again. We're going to Agora Fest the weekend of September 25th. Agora Fest is a gathering of anarchists and libertarians. I can't wait. Nick Ludwig, who is part of that group, said, "Oh, I don't know. I hope your reputation doesn't suffer because of your association with us." And I was like, "I don't think that's a problem at all. I think it's going to be a great time. There's going to be a ton of people there, and I can't wait to hang out with those guys." So that's coming up. Thanks for listening to Podcast 400. Is this Podcast 408? Yeah, Podcast 408. The Bob Davis Podcasts. Bye-bye.